Let's open our Bibles to 1 Chronicles chapter 4. 1 Chronicles chapter 4. I'd like for you to be praying. This message this morning is a two-part message. I'm doing the first part this morning, and the next Sunday morning I'll be doing the second part of the message. Lord willing, it'll only be two parts. It might stretch to three. I don't know, but we'll see how the Lord leads. But 1 Chronicles chapter 4, and the Lord laid this message on my heart when I was at the men's prayer advance. And after praying and reading the scriptures, the Lord laid this passage on my heart, but I didn't know what he wanted me to say. And it took a couple of months of praying and working on it and rereading the passage. And the Lord showed me the direction I should go with this. I preached part of this message out at America's Keswick at the men's meeting. And so I want to share the whole message with you. I believe it's vital for us as a church ministry, certainly as believers in Christ, to know how to secure the blessing. And we're going to see what that means in a few moments. 1 Chronicles chapter 4 and verse 38. These mentioned by their names were princes in their families, and the house of their fathers increased greatly. They went to the entrance of Gedar, even unto the east side of the valley, to seek pasture for their flocks. And they found fat pasture and good, and the land was wide and quiet and peaceable, for they of Ham had dwelt there of old. And these written by name came in the days of Hezekiah king of Judah, and smote their tents and the habitations that were found there, and destroyed them utterly unto this day, and dwelt in their rooms, because there was pasture there for their flocks. And some of them, even of the sons of Simeon, 500 men, went to Mount Seir, having for their captains Pelatai, and Neri, and Raphali, and Uzziel, the sons of Ishi, and they smote the rest of the Amalekites that were escaped, and dwelt there unto this day. Now the sons of Reuben, the firstborn of Israel, for he was the firstborn, but forasmuch as he defiled his father's bed, his birthright was taken unto the sons of Joseph, the sons of Israel, and the genealogy is not to be reckoned after the birthright. Let's pray. God, we are so thankful to have the Bible before us. We're thankful, Lord, that we can learn through the instruction of the Word. We can learn through the examples of the dealings and moves and working of God in the life of the people of Israel. And Lord, I pray that we might be able to glean some truths that will help us understand the blessing that needs to be secured, and God, what we can do to secure that blessing from generation to generation to generation. And Lord, I pray that this morning, if there's anyone here that's not saved, may they realize that Christ came and died for them that they might be born again through faith in the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross of Calvary. They'd be able to leave here, Lord, knowing they're going to heaven. And certainly us believers this morning, Lord, these are troublesome days that we are living in. And Lord, I really believe with all my heart that it is necessary for the children of God to be serious about their Christian life and serious about the world in which we live. And Lord, be a witness and a testimony of the grace of God in this dark and wicked world in which we live. God, how we need your help. We need conviction. We need a move of God upon us. And so, Lord, will you speak to us in a special way this morning? We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Our text verse is verse 41. It says, these written by name came in the days of Hezekiah, king of Judah, and smote their tents and the habitations that were found there, and destroyed them utterly unto this day, and dwelt in their rooms, because there was pasture there for their flocks. Now, I have to take some time in the introduction of the message to go through some historical facts about Israel, about Judah, and about Simeon, in order to be able to understand what is it that God is actually saying to us in these three or four verses that we have taken as our text. A couple of things. First of all, we know at the beginning of 1 Chronicles chapter 4, we read about a man by the name of Jabez. Now, what's interesting to me that over the years, and it's been several years now, there's been many books and devotionals and messages and everything else preached on this man named Jabez. And I'm not against that. I'm glad they did, because he was a man that is noteworthy in the scriptures. But we never go from Jabez to the end of the chapter and see what the outcome is of what he did and what he experienced and how far did it carry along in his generations. And I believe with all my heart, when we get to the end of the chapter, we're going to see some problems here as we look at this message together. And so Jabez was a part of the tribe of Judah. His part of Judah's inheritance literally was the cities of Gedar. We read in verse 39 that the tribe of Simeon came down at the entrance of Gedar. And we know that that was an area in which Jabez dwelt, because of Joshua 15:58 states that the descendants of Jabez lived there. Also in 1 Chronicles chapter 4 and verse 4, it identifies the forefathers of Jabez as being in the city or the valley of Gedar. And so when we read this passage and talking about an area of where Judah dwelt, we understand the place that he dwelt was the place of Jabez dwelling and his desire for the Lord. It's apparent that the cities and the villages were in the same area as Gedar. And so we know that Jabez had prayed and asked for God to enlarge his coast, and God blessed him. And no wonder, when Simeon comes into the area or valley of Gedar, he finds a place that is full of pasture ground, that was good ground. It was a place that was quiet. It was a place that was increased because it was the result of the prayer of Jabez. But Simeon goes in and enjoys that. So Jabez was of the tribe of Judah. Simeon's inheritance that Simeon would enjoy was a part of the inheritance of Judah. In Joshua chapter 19, in verse 1, we learn that. It says, "And the second lot came forth to Simeon, even the tribe of the children of Simeon, according to their families, and their inheritance was within the inheritance of the children of Judah." So here we have this area where Jabez lives. He is a part of the tribe of Judah. His dwelling place was in the villages, the lower country of Gedar. And here is the tribe of Simeon that is enjoying their inheritance, which is a part of the inheritance of Judah. Now, it mentions here in our text verse that it was during the days of Hezekiah, king of Judah, that these things took place. So Hezekiah had inherited the kingdom of Judah, but he inherited a kingdom that was completely disorganized. Not only was it disorganized, but he carried with it a grievous burden of the Assyrians' dominance over them, and also the tribute or the taxes that was levied upon them. And this was the spirit and the characteristic of the days in which Hezekiah becomes king of Judah over the valleys of Gedar. Now, what happens here? There was a critical moment in the time in the history of Judah in 701 BC. Sennacherib, king of Assyria, speedily subdued the Philistine cities, and he defeated them, and he also went into the southern cities of the valley of where Judah was and where the valley of Gedar is. The amazing thing is that he took 46 walled towns. Now, we know Gedar means walled. And so he went in and he took possession of the city, 46 walled cities belonging to Judah. He took their spoils and he deported or took into captivity 200,000 of the Jews, 200 people of Judah, in 2 Kings chapter 18, verse 13 through 16. Now, the amazing thing is this, that Judah at this point is at an all-time spiritual low because of the conflicts and because of the banding of their God. It is during this time that the prophets Isaiah and Micah are laboring in their messages to Judah that they needed to be birthed into this true Hebrew conscience and faith. They needed to walk with their God. They needed to commit their life to God, their God, and they need to follow through on the promises of enjoying the blessings from the inheritance that they received through the blessings of God on Jabez. Now, Hezekiah begins his reign with the most pressing constructive need on Israel. And that was to cleanse, to open the temple and to cleanse the temple. Keep your finger here. You can turn over to 2 Chronicles. I'd like to read 2 Chronicles chapter 29 so that you can get a sense of the spirit and the character of the days in which Hezekiah is reigning and the condition that is upon Judah at the time when Simeon comes in and takes possession of Gedar in the lower valley. In 2 Chronicles 29, in verse 1, it says, Hezekiah began to reign when he was 5 and 20 years old. And he reigned 9 and 20 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Abijah, the daughter of Zechariah. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. Now, there is something that needs to be done right now amongst the Christians in America. And yay, Christians around the world, but I'm concerned about America. I'm concerned about the society in which we live. It is time for us to stop trying to do what's right based on what the world says is right and start doing what's right according to what God says is right. So he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord according to all that David, his father, had done. In the first year of his reign, in the first month, opened the doors of the house of the Lord and repaired them. And he brought in the priests and the Levites and gathered them together in the east street and said unto them, hear me, ye Levites, sanctify now yourselves and sanctify the house of the Lord God of your fathers and carry forth the filthiness out of the holy place. Now listen, let me just throw this in here. These are days where we are losing the blessing of God. And it is because of the fact that we have lost the focus of the significance and importance of having the house of God open and it purified and cleansed and getting the filthiness out of the church. Now, let me encourage you with this. Parents, you have children. Your children need to be in Sunday school. They need to be in the children's program on Sunday nights. They need to be in the children's program on Wednesday nights. Your teens need to be in church when the doors are open. That's Sunday morning, Sunday school, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. And you say, why is that necessary? Because of the fact that we are losing our children. We are losing the blessings because of the fact we will not open the house of God up and we will not cleanse the filthiness out of it and understand the importance of gathering together. Now, Judah lost the blessing of God because they had allowed the house of God to become polluted. Notice in verse 6, he says, for our fathers have trespassed and done that which is evil in the eyes of our Lord our God and have forsaken him and have turned away their faces from the habitation of the Lord and turned their backs. Also, they have shut down, may I just throw this in? The condition we are in America right now, the immoral mess of debauchery that we are consumed with is because our forefathers have polluted themselves. They have not forsaken the sins of the fathers. They have not turned holy unto the Lord, and they have allowed whatever is filthy and corrupt to enter into our societies, into our communities, and yea, sad enough, into our Christian homes and even into our church. And so Hezekiah says, this is the problem. Our fathers have trespassed. If there's one thing we need right now, and I'm going to get ahead of myself, but I'll just throw this in. Men, you need to be here to gather as men together to walk with God and bring our families, our church, our nation on its knees before God that we might be pure and clean. Also, he says, they have shut up the doors of the porch and put out the lamps and have not burned incense nor offered burnt offerings in the holy place unto the God of Israel. In other words, they did not exercise the spiritual disciplines that God required of them to worship and praise him. It says, wherefore, the wrath of the Lord was upon Judah and Jerusalem, and he hath delivered them to trouble, to astonishment, to hissing, as you see with your eyes. And may I say, America is in trouble. People are looking at us with astonishment. And hissing means they're mocking and ridiculing who we are. Verse 9 says, for lo, our fathers have fallen by the sword, Our sons and our daughters and our wives are in captivity for this. Remember, they had 200,000 taken into captivity by Assyria. We are losing our children. The world is capturing our children because we will not maintain the priority of walking and living for God in holiness. If we do not give them the significance and the direction and importance of living for God, the world will swallow them up. I'll guarantee you that. It says, my sons, be not now negligent, for the Lord hath chosen you to stand before him, to serve him, and that you should minister unto him and burn incense. May I say, God has chosen us for this hour. God has chosen us in this time frame for us to stand with him and for us to serve him and for us to minister before him. And when you talk about burning the incense, that's a representation of offering our prayers up. We all pray unto our God, trusting him to work on our behalf. The problem was Israel had ignored all these things. Hezekiah has to restore the temple, purge the temple of the filthinesses in it. His father hated God. His father closed the temple. His father rejected the worship of God. There is no excuse for us to say the previous generation didn't walk with God. There is no excuse to say I wasn't raised in a Christian home. There's no excuse to be negligent in our responsibility to secure the blessing for our children and the generations to come. And so we need to secure the blessing as it was in the days of Hezekiah, the king of Judah. They smote the tents and the habitations that were found there and destroyed them utterly unto this day and dwelt in the rooms because there was pasture there for their flocks. First of all, I want you to see that we need leadership. Leadership that is needed. How do we secure the blessing and keep the blessing from generation to generation? There is a need for leadership. In verse 38 of our chapter here where we read in 1 Chronicles, chapter 4 says, these mentioned, who's that? Who's these? That's all the people that are mentioned prior to verse 38. And literally, what is it? I think in verse 24, yes, verse 24, it starts to identify the leaders in the tribe of Simeon. These mentioned by their names were princes in their families, and the house of their fathers increased greatly. There was a need for leadership. Why? Because of the fact that Judah had received a blessing through the prayer of Jabez. They had secured that blessing, but because they neglected the God of Jabez, they turned their back on the God of Jabez. By the time you get to the end of chapter 4 of 1 Chronicles, we have Simeon coming on the scene and moving in and taking the blessing of the pastures and the wealth and the quietness and the peacefulness of the land as Judah is taken in captivity. So there's leadership that is necessary. When they read about this, the first things he does is say these were princes in their families. They led the people of Simeon to take the possession there. Here's a quote that I found as I was working on this. Human authority is by divine appointment. We have to come to a place where we acknowledge that, wait a minute, all authority that is established in mankind is established by God. In other words, God knows how the family should function better than man knows how the family should function. God knows how the church should function better than man knows. And he certainly knows how a nation should exist and function better than man does. But we have come to a place where we reject human authority. We have come to a place where we will not acknowledge that human authority is by divine appointment. And may I say, men, God has divinely appointed you to lead your families. I really believe with all my heart that God has divinely appointed us to be leaders in our community. I believe that God has established the leadership within the church. And so leadership is needed. When they came in to take this land that was fat
and pleasant and peaceful and pleasant. It took leaders to direct the people in to take that land. Leadership is needed. Here's the warning. The warning is simple. Don't ignore spiritual leadership. It is easy for us to come to a place of ignoring those that God has appointed in our life to provide leadership. Whether it be in our communities or in our church or in our homes or whatever it may be, God has so appointed leadership and authority, then what is the danger? The danger is we have a tendency to ignore it and reject it. In 1 Chronicles chapter 4, in verse 9, it says, Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. His mother called his name Jabez because I bear him with sorrow. Now, there's many thoughts about that. Either she had a difficult pregnancy or she was suffering when she was having giving birth to him. I believe in the times in which he was living, I believe these were troublesome times, and so he was born in times of trouble. But it says that Jabez called on the God of Israel. Notice the circumstances did not stop him from calling on God. He had enough gumption and leadership ability in him to say, well, wait a minute, this is times of sorrow, I need to call on God. So he said, he called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that thou wouldst bless me indeed, and enlarge my coast, that thine hand might be with me, and thou wouldst keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. And God granted him that which he requested. Now, after you read that, you start reading of all the genealogies going down through the time frame from Jabez until you read in verse 24 the genealogy of Simeon. The sad thing is once you get to the end of the genealogies and of Judah and start reading the genealogies of Simeon, you see that there was a breakdown of acknowledging divine authority and leadership. And as a result of that, because they ignored the spiritual leadership of Jabez, by the time you get down to verse 38 of our chapter, Simeon comes in and takes over the blessings that Jabez had prayed for and received. Now I'm going to tell you something. Either we will secure the blessings of God as a Christian nation, or I believe with all my heart that God is going to bring someone else in to take it away from us. And may I say, the many blessings that we have enjoyed historically in America, day by day, week by week, are being taken away from us. And so you can say, I'm going to follow the spiritual leadership and live according to biblical principles so that I can maintain my blessings and freedoms, or I'm going to turn my back and ignore the responsibility and just let somebody else come in and take it. The warning is, don't ignore spiritual leadership. Judah was replaced by Simeon. Who's going to replace you? What's going to replace the church? We already have cities in America that instead of having church bells ring across the community, we have the call to prayer by Muslims sounding over loud systems in our cities in America. Now, if you want to sit there and ignore the responsibility to secure your blessing, then bless God, one day you're going to turn around and it's going to be taken away from you. And say, oh, that's not going to happen. It's happening right now. So the warning is, don't ignore spiritual leadership. Here's the challenge. When there's a warning, there's always a challenge. The challenge is to continue to grow in the strength of the Lord. Philippians 4:13, we know it says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. This is not about being prideful in ourselves, and it is not about becoming a force of protest and this, that, and the other in the world in which we live, but rather it is coming to a place of acknowledging over and over again that I must have the God of my fathers, I must have the God of heaven as a source of the strength to be able to stand against the oppression and opposition of living the Christian life. And irregardless of what goes on, I need to have the strength and the power of God to stand irregardless of what happens. Ephesians 6:10, Paul challenged us to stand in the power of God, stand in the might of the Lord, and all that we might stand. You know, it's amazing to me, the homosexuals make up less than 5% of the population in America, but I'm going to tell you one thing right now. Their voice is more powerful than a Christian's voice. And I'm going to tell you one thing right now. It's because the Christians will not stand up and protest as far as saying no. Enough is enough, and I say no. Because as soon as you do, you're going to be marked as a bigot, marked as being unloving and everything else, and we just want to kind of blend in with society. But I'm going to tell you, it doesn't work because you're seeing everything taken away from you. You're a Christian and you have a business. If you don't do everything a homosexual wants you to do, you'll lose your business. North Carolina just passed a bill to protect religious organizations so that they could not be sued for discrimination, so they could practice their faith as they so deem possible. And what's his name? Bruce Springsteen. I didn't like him when I wasn't even saved. Amen. But he needs to forget about it. Amen. Go home. But anyway, that's another thing. He just canceled a concert in North Carolina because of the fact that he shut because of the law that was passed in North Carolina. You know what Christians ought to do? They ought to all stand up and say, "Hallelujah, get out of here. We don't want you here." But no, we won't say nothing like that. God, we need to stand up and say, God's judgment's going to come on you for this wicked lifestyle. That's a challenge. To stand in the power of God. Why? Because the weak are overcome by the strong. What took place in this chapter was Judah was blessed through the prayer of Jabez and God increased his coast. But I'm going to tell you, they neglected the divine appointment of authority and leadership in Judah. And as a result of it, they became weak and weaker and weaker and weaker until they were carried off into captivity by Assyria, and literally Simeon was getting stronger and stronger and stronger, and Simeon came in and overtook the weaker. Here's a good quote out of the Pulpit Helps on this passage. I was reading through the Pulpit Helps and it said this: "This is an instant of might overmastering right." See what we do in America, we're great for this. That's my right. That's my right. That's my right. And it may be your right, but that's as far as we go. You realize the person who is stronger will take your right away from you. And so this is a classic example, instance of might overmastering right. And the point of the story is that these princes grew strong, and when they had the might, they used it to drive out and possess the lands of those who only had the right. And we are literally in America at that point of losing the blessings because the only thing we have is, well, that's my right. And somebody who's stronger is coming along and say, well, I don't care if that's your right, I'm taking it from you. Young people, you teenagers, you need to listen to me. You young people need to listen. Mom and dad, you need to listen to me. I'm going to tell you right now, the world we are living in is not the world I grew up in. And the things that we never thought about as far as being illegal, things that you could do and how you lived and just places you went and what took, never did you have anybody lording over you and requiring of you and monitoring you and doing all these things. I'm telling you, you can stand around and say, I have the right, I have the right. Well, you're lost the right because the stronger has taken it away from you. Too long, for the last 40, 50 years, too long, Christians have been quiet and will not speak up about what the problems are and the compromises because of the fact we just don't want any trouble. We want to be able to have a smooth, easy life. We want to be able to fit in, and we don't want somebody confronting us about our faith. Well, I'm going to tell you something, honey. You're going to have your faith confronted. Every one of you are going to have your faith confronted. You're not going to escape it because that's the world we're living in. We let it get this far. We know the right does not give us the freedom anymore because the strong has taken it away from us. Everything that Judah enjoyed is gone. But who's enjoying it? Simeon. Notice not only is there a warning, don't ignore the spiritual leadership. Notice there's not only a challenge to continue to grow in the strength of the Lord, but there's the opportunity. to prepare the next generation. In Deuteronomy chapter 4, Moses gives some nice direct instruction for the children of Israel in reverence and respect to their children. Deuteronomy 4 and verse 8, it says, "And what nation is there so great?" And I have to say, as you look at the nations of the world, what nation is like America? There's none like us. "And what nation is there so great that hath statutes and judgments so righteous as all this law which I set before you this day?" May we could we just get back to the place of saying America is great because we were founded as a Christian nation? Can we get back to the place where we can say, wait a minute, our laws are just and sound because they were designed and created and built upon biblical principles, and because they were built upon biblical principles, now our laws are being made by emotion. Now our laws are being made by what is accepted or not accepted within society itself. And as a result of it, we're losing our greatness. In verse 9, it says, "Only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen." Over the years, I have people all the time tell me, "Oh, you're just too intense." People tell me, "You need to calm down. Oh, you know, it's not that bad." Let me tell you something. I've seen some things in the last 30-some years I've been saved. I've seen some things in the last 60-some years I've been alive. And I'm going to tell you, I don't like what I see. And I don't like the direction we're going. And I don't like the fact that we're giving it up and giving it away. "Unless they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life, but teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons." Young people, I want you to know right now, the greatest way to live, the greatest blessing you can enjoy, is because of the fact that there is a God in heaven who loves you and has given us the opportunity to be in a nation like this. America is not a wicked, whoremongering nation that is out to shed blood around the world. But that's the concept that people have. That's what's being taught in our schools. That's what's thriving on our college campuses. Our young people go to college and they walk away with a heart that despises the very country that's given you such freedom to be able to go to college. I was watching one of the protests and they had a flag out there on the ground and walking on that ground. I thought if I was there, I'd be going to jail because I'd grab that flag and we'll be the person to try to take it away from me. I love America and I love what it stands for. And I'm going to tell you right now, we're not the worst polluter in the world. We're not the corrupt one in the world. We're not the one that oppresses people. We're the place that people come to find freedom. Why don't we go back to what we used to be? You young people need to understand how good America is. You need to rejoice in the goodness of God that He would choose to bless a nation like we are. Otherwise, we'll be like the descendants of Jabez. All that he prayed for God's blessings was all given over to someone else because his descendants, didn't provide the leadership that was necessary. The opportunities to prepare the next generation. I love what Hezekiah had to face in 2 Kings 21. It says, "In those days was Hezekiah sick unto death. And the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amos, came to him and said unto him, Thus saith the Lord, set thy house in order, for thou shalt die and not live." It is time for us to set our house in order. I expect to see everybody that is in this service right now in church tonight at 6 o'clock. I expect that. I expect to see every child that is represented by every adult that's in this building at every activity that we have going on so that they might hear about Jesus Christ and understand about what their life can be with Christ. That's my expectation. We have an opportunity to prepare the next generation. I'm telling you, it's not going to get any nicer and it's not going to get any better, so we better be prepared to face the world in which we live. Leadership. That's what it requires, leadership that is needed. Well, number two, you can see why this is going to be a two-part message. Back in our text, verse 38 is leadership needed. Verse 39 and 40 is increase enjoyed. I don't know about you. I like to enjoy the increase. In verse 39, and they went in the entrance of Gedar, even to the east side of the valley, to seek pasture for their flocks, and they found fat pasture and good, and the land was wide and quiet and peaceable, for they of Ham and had dwelt there of old. Here's a couple of things. Just as human authority is by divine appointment, increase is a divine gift. Our blessings that we have on America, the financial blessings, the economic aspect of what we have been throughout the centuries, listen, we have to rejoice in the fact that it is by God's hand of blessing. It is a divine gift that we have from the Almighty. And when we get to a place where we think that we can secure our own blessings ourselves based on our own works and our own abilities, we're in trouble because we're going to lose it. Gedar means walled. They went in and they tore down the wall. They went in and took the land in the valley. What walls do you need to tear down in your life? What walls do we need to tear down in order to secure the blessings of God? I thought about financially. We need God's blessing financially. We're in a mess in America financially. We are $19 trillion in debt. You know what that means? That means if you take $100 bills and stack them on each other on top, start a pile right here, $100 bill, set on top of another and start making a stack. You can stack those $100 bills all the way to the moon and back five times, that's $19 trillion. That computes to that every living human being in America, everyone, kids, babies, legal, illegal, every human being in America has a debt load of over $60,000 per person. That's what it means. And then our politicians want to stand up there and say, oh, well, we want to give free education. We want to give free medical attention. We want to give free this and free that. Can I tell you something? The government has no money. It's $19 trillion in debt. It has no money. And whatever money it does have, it's money that they steal from you. Financially, it's time to get our household in order, realizing that God is the one that increases us. He's the one that divinely gifts us financially and gives us the ability. Malachi chapter 3 in verse 10 says, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be meat in my house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that there shall be no room, not room enough to receive it. I'm just saying, when you get your financial household in order, in line with God's finances, God will open the windows of heaven and shower a blessing. America has spit in the face of God. America has applied principles that are not biblical in dealing with its finances. It's time for America to balance her budget and stop borrowing money. Why? Because we want God's blessing. It's time for the believer to tithe and give to the Lord faithfully, because God is the one who said he would bless us. Give and it shall be given unto you. Pressed down, shaking together, and running over shall men give into thy bosom. You say you just want a big offering in church. No, I've given big offerings as much as I can over the years. I've given when I've had no money and given what I had, and God's blessed me abundantly beyond whatever I can even think of. I'm going to tell you, every time that I've done something sacrificial and giving to the work of God or helping out a Christian, God has gone beyond and blessed me. Before I could even be a blessing, he blessed me. Financial household. You want to enjoy the increase, then you need to get your finances in order. What about spiritually? 2 Chronicles chapter 7. We need to spiritually get ourselves in a position where God can gift us and bless us. In 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14, very clearly God tells us how to get his blessings. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then while I hear from heaven, will forgive their sins and will heal their land. I believe we're not going to get healing in America until Christians get right with God. We have polluted the house of God. We have polluted our lives. We have become prideful and boastful in who we are and what we can do. And it is time for us to humble ourselves. It's time for America from the White House down to get on their knees and cry out to God to forgive them.
No, we're going on, y'all. Well, we're going to do this and we're going to do that. I hear all these politicians running for president. I'm so sick of the whole thing. Prideful, manipulative, thieves. I don't hear anybody crying out and say, we need God's blessing once again. It would be refreshing. And people say, wow, I mean, you did that as a politician. You'd never get elected. Then I wouldn't get elected. It's important for them to stand up and say, it's time for America to turn back to God. We came from the portals of hell, as it were. We came out of the ashes of wickedness and turned to God. We are a nation that was established on biblical principles. And bless God, it's time for us to get spiritual once again. It's a judgment begins at the house of God. And if the church isn't willing to get right with God, then don't you dare say this world's got to get right with God. We want God's blessings, but we're not willing to do what God requires of us to get them. Spiritually, financially, intellectually. In Colossians chapter 1, Paul deals with us coming to a knowledge of who Christ is. You know, the greatest thing that you can learn is who Christ is and what God has for you in your life. We're so focused on everything else. Oh man, we're going to have to figure out how to get to that next level in our game thing. We really have to be committed to figure out how I can be on somebody's like page on Facebook. We're worried about all that. We don't worry about coming to the knowledge of Christ. Colossians 1 and 9 says, "For this cause also, since the day we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you." And here it is, "and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual knowledge." I'm going to tell you the greatest thing that your children can learn is the word of God, the way of God, the blessing of God, more so than anything else. Young people, I challenge the early church. I'll challenge you adults too. This is what you need to do. You need to start reading one chapter in the book of Proverbs every day. It'll take up the month. You can read the chapter when you get done, Proverbs, then go back and read again, starting in chapter 1, and read through the book of Proverbs. And you need to do that every day of your life. And this is the reason why. Because you'll become wise beyond your years because of the depth of the knowledge that's in the book of Proverbs. It is more important for you to enjoy the increase of the wisdom of God than it is for you to gain everything that this world has to offer you. Colossians 3:16, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord." So you can experience increase intellectually, spiritually, financially. In the book of Nehemiah, you can experience the blessings of God and increase in this matter of emotionally. You know, America is an emotional wreck. It's always interesting. I don't take any medication. I praise God for the health that he gives me. I'm not boasting about that. But I'm shocked. Every time I go to the doctor to get a physical, the first thing the doctor says is, what medication you on? I said, I don't take any. What do you mean you don't take any? I said, I don't take any. You don't even take an aspirin? No, I don't take it. You need to take an aspirin. I said, why? I don't have a headache. Well, it'll help you from having a heart attack. I said, I'm not having a heart attack. You know what I mean? You're not yet. And then they throw this in, and then I really get upset. You know, your age, the average person is taking 4 or 5 medications. I said, I don't take any medication. It's amazing the medication they try to push on you. And it's amazing to me. I believe medication's good. If you need it, hallelujah for it. But I'm going to tell you, we have a society that is despondent.
a society that is discouraged. There are so many people that are crying out for counseling. People can't deal with the problems in life. People can't seem to draw together and get their head wrapped around the reality of what they need to be in life. Emotionally, they are drained. Wait a minute. Let's increase with abundance of God's control and blessing in our life. Emotionally, I get discouraged. I get down. I'm going to tell you, there's times I'm depressed. There's no preacher alive that doesn't get depressed, especially on Monday morning. Don't talk to me on Mondays. Amen. I'm depressed enough on Monday morning. Don't need a church member calling,
"Well, I was upset about your sermon on Sunday."
Numbers chapter 8 in verse 10. Nehemiah and Ezra find the law of God. They read the law of God. As they read the law of God, the people start to weep. Emotionally, they're stressed. In Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 10, "Then he said unto them, Go your way, eat the fat and drink the sweet." Now that's a good diet to hold to. Amen. I love the Bible. Go your way, eat the fat and drink the sweet. "And send portions unto them from whom nothing is prepared." And he says this, look at this. "For this day is holy unto our Lord, neither be ye sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is thy strength." Folks, increase is a divine gift. And God, as I read your word, I get convicted about that. But then I find grace, and I find mercy, and I find the long-suffering of God. And listen, there is a joy that comes into my heart that God gifts me with, and I can be strong and get up and face the challenge today. I can be strong to get up and meet the demands of life. I might be discouraged and I might be downtrodden, but it's the joy of the Lord that gives me strength to go on day by day. Oh God, let me enjoy the increase. Amen. Why? Because I want to secure the blessing. Judah missed out on the increase. Old Jabez prayed it in. But I'm going to tell you, the descendants lost it. His descendants lost what God had given them because they had turned their back on the responsibility of leadership. And may I say this, if you're not going to lead, somebody else will. Somebody else will. I heard a preacher, so I was listening to a preacher preach a message. And he threw this in. I never thought of this before. But every major turning point in the life of Israel, God used a woman. I'm thinking about developing a message off of that for Mother's Day. Pray for me. I don't know what it means. I don't know what it says. I don't know where it's at, but I'm going to find it. Amen. But I thought that's an awesome thought. To think that God would do in using leadership to bring his will in Israel. It's amazing. God spoke to Balaam through his donkey. If God can speak through Balaam's donkey, he can speak through me. Amen. It's pretty bad when you have to have a donkey tell you what to do and lead you in a way. Spiritual leader. Listen, leadership is required because God has a blessing for us. We've enjoyed a blessing for years. We are losing the blessing. And I don't want to give it up. I want to hold on to it. And I want God to increase me. Jabez, I read about him, I say, amen, pray that prayer. Lord, I want you to increase me. I want to enjoy the increase. I don't want something that comes by the work and the abilities of my own hands, because I know whatever I do with my hands, it's not going to last. But God, if you'll increase me, God, I'll be faithful to hang on and secure that blessing for my life and for the generations to come. Securing the blessing. Be sure to be here next Sunday morning. We'll be following through and finishing up this message, hopefully, next week. But if we don't, we still got the following week. Amen. But folks, listen, I thought of this morning when I was finishing my message. I really feel, I've spent about 2 months on this message, praying over it. I feel that this is the most important message that I'm going to preach this year. Because I see America slipping away. I see the church slipping away. And I'm like, Lord, don't allow it to slip away. show me how to hold on to it. Help me not to let the blessing go. Securing the blessing. Let's pray. Father, help us this morning. We know that without you we can do nothing, and so we plead for an anointing and touch and move of God. The things that need to be made right, may we make them right. Now, not tomorrow, not next week, but now. There's decisions that need to be made and how we can hang on to and secure the blessings of God. Help us, Lord, to have the stamina and the strength that comes from on high to not allow these things to go. I pray for the blessing of God on America. I pray, oh God, for the blessing on these Christian homes that are represented here this morning. I pray for Ocean County Baptist Church. We know days are not going to get easier, but God, we know the blessings of God can still flow. And so, Lord, will you give us the increase, and we'll rejoice in thee. I pray, Lord, if there's somebody not saved this morning, will you touch them, Lord? Bring them to the cross, Lord. Bring them to the altar that they might be saved. And we'll give you praise and thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen.